This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, it's a huge thing. And like I said in the beginning, you don't get so many opportunities. I think teams for years chasing those kind of players. And we did it at trade deadline. So I'm very excited. I'm happy for organization, and I'm, you know, happy for Bulls fans. And I'm looking forward to see how this group is going to work. And again, we're not done. So we're going to try to keep improving, you know, keep improving our quality of play. And then keep adding pieces to what this team is going to look like in the future.
That's the AK part of Acme, Arturis Karnatrovas. The other part is Mark Eversley, Acme, trying to take the Bulls to the Acme of the NBA and made a major move this week. He was talking about it. Basically, part of the message was, get tough or get out. Let's see what the rest of the message was. Let's go to the Score Hotline. Presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. And we welcome back to the show Rick Camp, the host of the Bulls postgame show right here on the Score. There will be a Bulls postgame show tonight after Mark Rohde's most anticipated Bulls game maybe ever or
ever.
Maybe not. But
ever.
Tonight against San Jose with a new look. With their
or San Antonio,
Jokic. Yeah, them.
You're always thinking hockey, San Antonio.
Yeah, I know. I can't. That's the way it works. Rick, thanks for joining us. So you heard. Go back to when you heard about the trade, and then sort of walk us through what you felt then, what you think now, what you anticipate tonight.
I'll start with what I'm anticipating tonight, and I think it's Vucevic being really good in the boards against Joe Thornton and Joe Pavelski.
Yes.
When they take on the Sharks.
I would anticipate that too, but how do you think the Russian goal?
You remember when Joe Thornton beat up Jonathan Toews at one time?
Hey, I hope Jay somehow finds out about this, that I was able to name two hockey players
good.
Right. Who are no longer with the San Jose Sharks.
No, that was good, though. I was surprised. You would not have had enough time to look those up. So bravo, Rick.
Let's do that hockey.
Yeah.
Damn right. Okay, so with this trade, I was shocked when it happened. But it's also a good thing that I was shocked, because I love the fact that this front office is able to keep everything under wraps. And especially as we've learned more of just how long this had at least been an idea and there'd been some discussions with Orlando, the fact that none of it got out is a great sign for this front office. Just that, as opposed to the last regime, you know, seems like you would think everybody gets along, everybody's on the same page, and the fact that there were enough people in this decision-making process that none of them felt the need or want to let that get out is a good thing. I also think it makes a lot of sense as a move. I think it was really interesting because it was so hard to try and evaluate this team because you didn't know the direction. And that was perfectly okay that this front office said, hey, we want to be able to evaluate these guys before we kind of decide how we're going to go. And I think part of the impetus of this move is actually what's happened around the league and the fact that a lot of the big-ticket free agents from this upcoming summer re-signed. So this upcoming free agent class isn't very good anymore. So there's about a dozen teams that were supposed to have free agent money to spend. Without having guys to spend it on, the Bulls decided to essentially pre-spend their free agent money and say, hey, we'll go get someone that's on a value deal that can really help maximize Zach LaVine a little bit more, take some of the load off of his shoulders offensively, and be able to provide something that the Bulls could really use in terms of an upgrade, and also, you know, give them probably the best. They couldn't have gotten someone as good as Nikola Vucevic on the free agent market this offseason, which is more of a sign of the lack of guys on the market. So I think in that essence, and yeah, at least if for some reason you're still in the lottery, either this time around or in 2023, there's at least enough protection to where if you get lucky, then you're still covered and you have your own pick. So I like it. And as much as I was a huge Wendell Carter guy, it really seemed like he was someone that needed a fresh start somewhere else to be able to maximize the rest of his career.
No doubt. I mean, it's amazing how quickly this team went from development to enough with that. We have a chance to get Vucevic on our team. So let's play the Campy, the starting lineup game. Here's what I got. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. Vucevic, LaVine, Patrick Williams, Young, and Satoransky? Yes? No?
That's probably what I would start with. I almost wonder if they're going to give Markkanen the, like, just start it there and then let the defense be really, really bad and then say, okay, this is why we have to move you to the bench and start Thad
for
Young.
His sake? For Markkanen's sake, you mean?
Maybe, like, to say, yeah. That's what I would think. I would start Thad Young as well. You're kind of deciding with whoever starts at the four. Do you start Markkanen to where it's a better offensive fit, but defensively it's probably going to be a train wreck? Because Vucevic is not a great defender. Like, he's a bulkier body, but he's not the most athletic center in the world. Like, he's a really skilled dude, and he can play drop coverage decently well, but he's never going to be an average. He's not going to be an average defensive center. He's just not. Or you start Thad Young, where, you know, Thad Young is, he's okay shooting the three and spacing out, but obviously, as we saw last year, he's not really, that's not really what he wants to do. So him and Vucevic offensively operate in a lot of the same type of space. So that could get a little clunky in terms of spacing at times, but defensively it would make a lot more sense. So it's just kind of, where would they rather have the clunkier fit, offensively or defensively? And maybe that could be matchup based as well. But I think you're on the right track. Really, the only moving piece right now is that starting power forward spot.
We're talking with Rick Camp, host of the Bulls post-game show tonight. They play the Spurs. You can see here the pregame show at 7:15, and Chuck and Bill on the call, and then Rick and Chuck and Bill in the post-game in various combinations and various opinions and various observations. An observation, I came out of this, not only that trade deadline proved, underscored, validated a near complete repudiation of Garpax. Only Lauri Markkanen is left for that to be complete, as far as I'm concerned, whenever they deal him. But he really seemed to have a grip on a sense of not trusting the emotional makeup, the mental makeup, not trusting the toughness mentally and emotionally of the players, and aside from the physical part of it. Is that fair? Am I overreaching for this, Rick?
No, I think that's fair. And I mean, one thing that I appreciated about Wendell Carter is that he was a truth teller. And when he said after that abomination of a Cavs game that we took this team for granted, that is so damning. And I think that's on more than just someone like Wendell Carter. Wendell was the main guy sent out because it made sense for the sake of this deal. But I think there was a lot of that, or at least a decent amount of that, in that locker room. And I don't think all of it's gone necessarily. But with the types of guys that the Bulls brought in getting a little bit older, getting guys that are known for being a little tougher, especially with someone like Daniel Tice, more of a defensive-minded guy like Troy Brown, who may have some playmaking ability as well. I think it definitely points to wanting some more adults in the room. And I think it's interesting because, you know, Carter Chauvis, if they had more just sold off and kind of started this whole rebuild thing over, I don't think some people probably wouldn't have been that happy, but they would have understood it because it's their first year here, where now he's got to thread that needle. And it's not going to be very easy because, you know, Vucevic is 30. Now he has a game that should age decently well, but you're going to re-sign Zach LaVine, you would only assume. So now they have the second guy and they have the third guy of like a really, really good team. And you heard on the cut coming in from Carter Chauvis that, you know, they're still looking to improve, and maybe that'll be more around the edges and throughout the depth. But at some point, they got to have the ability to go get that number one dude. Otherwise, there was all this celebration this week about getting back to the treadmill of mediocrity, and we know how much I hate treadmills.
Yeah, but here's the thing about treadmills, Rick. If you go on the treadmill, then you could justify eating more.
Why do I need to go on the treadmill to justify eating more?
Do you guys know who you're talking to? You realize who the guest is? I just want to make sure you're aware.
I was going to say, I know you guys saw that picture from the Daily South Town article. Yes. I mean, my neck is a rumor at this point. So, like,
yes, yes.
You're hilarious, man.
Yes.
All right, back to the bull, because we will talk food here momentarily. But is this last call for Lauri Markkanen? Or do you think they've already made up their mind on Markkanen and his future beyond this year?
I think he's gone in the offseason. Now, the only thing that's left to be determined is if he just walks, if he gets, you know, whatever offer it is from one of these teams in restricted free agency. And that's the other thing, is with all this extra money out there and they're not being good unrestricted free agents, there's a lot of talk that some of these teams that are maybe not as good are going to focus their dollars on restricted free agency. And there's probably a team or two out there that says, you know what, we can be the ones to unlock Lauri Markkanen completely. There's always going to be teams that have that confidence in themselves out there. So he'll probably get an offer that the Bulls will be like, no thanks. And then it's just a matter of, is it let him walk or is it a sign and trade? Because a lot of teams are more willing to do sign and trades right now, because when you sign and trade for someone, you are subject to the hard cap, which is, I believe, about $6 million over the luxury tax. Well, with all the, you know, financial issues due to COVID right now, very few teams want to spend into the luxury tax anyway. So they're like, okay, fine, put this hard cap on us. We don't care. So over the last couple off seasons, sign-in trades have become more viable, and it's allowed teams to get a little bit of value even after that trade deadline for a restricted free agent or even an unrestricted free agent. So I think the Bulls will ideally like to, even if it's a second round pick, just get something for the right to sign and trade Markkanen and just get themselves another draft asset, something like that, because they need as many as they can to be able to maybe trade for whoever that number one guy is when that comes around. Because the standard is, if you're trading for the number one dude on a possible really good team, you're trading everything, and the Bulls don't have everything anymore. So they got to get creative.
Talking with Rick Camp, host of the Bulls postgame show here on The Score. You'll hear him tonight after the Bulls and the New Look Bulls show off their play against the Spurs, and their new center will be there, the man who made Zach LaVine a lot better in the last couple of days. So, Rick, I asked you to do some homework. I wanted your list of top five centers, and I want to know where Vucevic ranks in your world as far as that's concerned. Share with the class.
Within the top five, I think I'll list the tiers. The top tier, I think, is two guys, and it's pretty easy to figure out. It's Nikola Jokic and it's Joel Embiid. The two outside of LeBron James for most of the season so far, the top two MVP candidates. Jokic is the top MVP candidate on the board, at least in Vegas right now. I would appreciate that because I got a preseason ticket on him 36-1 because he's a fat and I like him. So there's that. And Joel Embiid is just, he's really damn good. And that Sixers team is really good. It's just a matter, but, you know, he's probably not going to win MVP because of missing time and all that. I think the second tier is one guy by himself, and that's Rudy Gobert. The offensive numbers aren't sexy. He's really limited offensively. But as the nine blocks against the Bulls would show, he's still that much of a difference maker defensively. And then I think you get into the 4-5-6 area right now, where the reason I have Vucevic sixth is because maybe I'm projecting more just in this year, is that he's at the peak of his powers right now, where Karl-Anthony Towns and Bam Adebayo still have ways to get better, and they're younger, and I think they're more versatile and athletic overall. So I have... That's enough studs.
Yeah.
Studs doesn't even know who these players are because they don't play football.
I'm aware of who these players are.
Okay.
I was booing you not putting Vucevic in the top five.
I realize this.
Yeah. You know who he wanted? He wants, just like me, Rudy Gobert.
But Bears. I have Vucevic sixth.
Bears.
And mind you, the center is a pretty deep position right now, at least at that top. Once you get past those six guys, I think there's a drop off. But Vuce is a guy that, yeah, he's an all-star, but he's not the top dude. He's never going to be the best player on a title team or anything like that, but he's a really good player. I think he's as much of a floor raiser for the Bulls as he is. He raises the ceiling a little, but he raises the floor significantly for their offense especially.
We raise the roof, don't we, Steve?
Yes, raise. Okay, so the... Now we'd like to talk to the co-host of the I'm Fat and co-founder of the I'm Fat podcast. Got some really nice pub you can act on the Daily Southtown. You and Jay, the I'm Fat podcast, and it's a classic picture. I don't know how you got the 0.3 or the 0.3. I assumed it was 0.0, which I think is one of the most brilliant bumper stickers and T-shirts as far as expending... effort. So you guys got some pub. Congratulations, Rick.
Thank you. Pubs are always good because they have beer and food in them normally. In this instance, it's also just, it's cool to get recognized. And mind you, to pull the curtain back a little bit, maybe Jay told me and I forgot, which is very possible, but I did not know this was going on. So when Jay sent me the article, I was like, oh, look at that. But it also makes sense because it's the Daily Southtown. Jay's a South Burbs guy. I am not. So, you know, Jay gave great quotes and like that's gave the essence of what the podcast is. It's fun that, yeah, we have fun and we joke about food and all this other stuff. But the like semi-serious aspect of it is, yeah, we don't body shame. We let everybody be themselves. And, you know, everybody should be allowed to let their freak flag fly in 3, 2, 1. And just the fact that it's an open environment for that. So we get people calling in saying that they keep, you know, Kraft singles in their glove box in the winter because they don't want to pay for cheese on their burgers. Okay, that's kind of cheap as long as fat, but do you? And the fact that everybody feels safe with it and that it's become a big community aspect of it is honestly, like, much bigger than I thought this thing would ever get. So I appreciate everybody who listens, who rates, reviews, subscribes, all that jazz, and the fact that we got written up in the Daily Southtown's really cool.
And the Pepsi and Peeps collaboration. How you fix for Peeps
out
and Pepsi?
Keep it away from me. Jay can have all of it. I'm not like I'll get a craving for Peeps maybe once a year, and that's about it. Otherwise, you can keep it, and I don't need it in my Pepsi because I'm not going to be having Pepsi myself unless, you know, if it's my choice.
Wait, what's that? What's Pepsi and Peeps? I don't know what you guys are talking about.
They're collabing on a really bad pop.
Oh.
Which is, you can imagine this being the food version of Pace and Nagy collaborating on a quarterback. So I think that's what, that would be our comparison. That would be the comparison.
Pepsi. Now you've really done it. Now you've got
is Nick Foles diabetes in a can then? Because that's what this sounds like.
You know, one of them has.
Oh, is this like a Jolt thing? Like Jolt, all the sugar and twice the caffeine? Is that what this Pepsi and Peeps situation is?
No. It is more of the pillowy, soft, and sweet taste of marshmallow in of the Peeps marshmallow in your Pepsi, and Peeps are always in Easter. An Easter tradition.
Oh, those. Oh, I was totally missing this. Okay. Wow.
Did you think Peeps are short for people?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, they're made for cannibals. We have a soft drink for cannibals.
Boy, this show does suck.
I thought it was a commercial campaign. Like, hey, Pepsi sucking. And Peeps. We're drinking Pepsi and we're Peeps.
So, I didn't see the final results. I apologize, Rick, but Popeye's fried chicken sandwich was in danger. The Duke of the March fatness brackets. I don't know how it turned out. Share with the class and what's next.
Okay, so we have the Flabby Four. We are at the point where we have the Flabby Four in the Rick Camp region. Air conditioning, which has been a juggernaut this entire time, 89% over relaxed fit. In the Bill Oakley region, eating an entire pint of ice cream had 59% of the votes over wearing sweatpants 365 days a year. In the Jay Zawoski region, Thanksgiving dinner with 67% of the vote over the aisle, getting the aisle seat on a plane. And in the fast food menu items region, the biggest upset of the tournament in my mind, the Culver's Butterburger with 52% of the vote over the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Wow.
Didn't you, when you did that top 10 fast food item list for Joe like 2 years ago, wasn't the Butterburger number one?
I don't remember what number it was, but it was definitely up there. It is so good, and it's a crime that Culver's is not nationwide yet. It's pretty much everywhere outside of the coast. Culver's is there, but we need to get Culver's expanding out to the coast because it is the best fast food chain out there.
Do you run your air conditioner during the winter?
There were times I was tempted this year because I live in a building where there are a decent amount of older people that live in my building. So my building used to be more of a retirement living situation before they opened it up to everybody. Okay. So the default temperature in that building in the winter is hot. There were times I was tempted, but I would crack the window when it was like 20 degrees out, and then I would get yelled at.
I would think
that, you know, I'm not surprised by air conditioning. What I'm always surprised about, but then I've figured it out, is Gold Bond, which is Gold Bond should always do better.
But agreed.
I think you have too many people who aren't fats. When you don't body shame the way you do, the way you guys respond and the way you guys act and the way it is, it's all about the goodness of food, no matter what your size or shape. That you, if you had limited it to solely the three X's, I think Gold Bond would be a Flabby Four regular.
I agree. And the other thing is, I don't think sweatpants would have gotten as far because fats prefer athletic shorts because our default temperature is higher because we insulate the heat. Also, like, as I project out what's happened in the March fatness bracket this year, air conditioning has to be the odds on favorite. And I'm realizing the Onion Ring of Honor is starting to look like just a fativity scene because it's going to be Andy Reid with the air conditioning on eating pizza and bacon. That's the fativity scene that's going to be in the Onion Ring of Honor at this point.
Well, the way you guys are marketing and the merch you're selling, I would think you've got your holiday item ready to go. I think that's it. That fativity scene is a brilliant concept.
Get a snow globe made.
The word is great, and I just think, Andy, that's the way it should work. That's the way it should be. Rick, I thank you for your time. We'll listen for you tonight.
Thank you.
All right. That's Rick Camp, co-host, co-founder of the I'm Fat podcast. You can read about him on the Chicago Tribune Online. The hard copy is in the Southtown, or the Daily Southtown. Oh, my God. And the March Fatness Brackets. But he will be telling you, he will be giving you the post-game for the Bulls. The Bulls play the new-look Bulls play their first game tonight, and it's against the Spurs, and it pregame is at 7:15 right here on the Score. We'll take a break. When we come back, I think it's time for What Mark Heard. I can't imagine what's in this week. So much. This was whiplash this week.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So let's do that. Allow as much time as we can the rest of the hour for What Mark Heard. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate, and they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Yeah. God. It is that time, What Mark Heard, right here on The Score, Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. The White Sox suck for giving Eloy Jimenez a glove after that whole netting thing. And Eloy Jimenez sucks for trying to play left field. We try, people, we try. In the meantime, Mark, what did you heard?
We're going to start with Eloy Jimenez, and Steve Stone was on The Score this week with Parkinson Spiegel, and he was not pulling any punches. Take a listen to Stoney.
Well, what I said at the time, so this isn't, you know, a Monday morning quarterback situation, but I said it was a very dumb play. Number one, it's spring training. Number two, you got about a week to go before the season starts. Number three, he missed the ball by 15 feet. And so the one thing that Eloy hasn't learned yet, and he's learned a lot, but the one thing he hasn't learned is he can't possibly help this team unless he's in the lineup. And so you have to learn to protect yourself.
That, I thought, was most symbolic of the conversation Stone said on any number of occasions that he used the word dumb, that it was a dumb play, unnecessary, and did not excuse it in the least, Stevie Sunshine.
Yes, and there's a lot of blame to be placed on the player of learning and growing. There's a lot of there's some blame to be placed on the team for you can't teach him, you didn't teach him, you didn't get through to him. You have a guy who is, however it was, I know that he became defensive. He is far more defensive in his responses to questions about his defense than he has been successfully defensive in the outfield. And that was a problem. That was always going to be a problem. And one thing the team, one fine line the team walks is doing what's best for the team by taking away his glove and telling him, no, you're not going out there because you're a menace to yourself, you're a menace to Louis Robert, and you're a menace to the team. You just hit. That's what you're good at. And having a player be able to accept that, he wants to be a complete ball player, and maybe that diminishes his attitude, his swag, his outlook, his approach, and what he resonates, how he radiates in that club, in that clubhouse. I don't know. I don't know that any of us would know because they didn't do it, but there's always... Teams always seem to fight that when you know a guy is just, you should know his learning curve. I don't know if they knew his learning curve, but the player has to take the some responsibility. I just think the team's got to know. You got to know what your player's capable of doing and learning, don't you think? No?
Yeah, and left field matters too. I mean, it's always easy for us to say, oh, yeah, you just throw your worst guy out in left field. Left field does matter. I think it's also indicative, and now I'm going to go against what I just said, that still in baseball now, it is, they can say whatever they want. Teams can say whatever they want about wanting to have a tight and good defense. They are the preferred form of playing in the game today is offense, and oftentimes defense has become extremely secondary, and I think that this is kind of a microcosm of it, and unfortunately the White Sox and Aloy have learned a lesson, and I don't think he's coming back to left field, but let's go to Rick Hahn right now as we continue on with what I, Mark, heard. This is Rick Hahn, the general manager of the White Sox, being asked about Eloy and what's going to go down with him when he does return.
Beginning of the spring, you were very definitive in saying that Eloy is your left fielder and you believe in him as a left fielder. Are you as definitive on that a day after what happened yesterday?
No, he's not today. No.
I guess I should have said long-term in there.
Let's just get him healthy. Right now, honestly, this is one of our teammates. This is one of our brothers who went down to a pretty significant injury yesterday. That's honestly, we want to get him healthy. We want to get him feeling good. Again, seeing him in pain yesterday was difficult for all of us. And right now we've got the makings of a plan. Assuming the surgery comes off in the next several days, we'll be able to build off that plan, get the player back healthy and right, and then we'll figure out moving forward best way to fit him back in when the time comes.
My bad. To be clear, that is a huge, big, fat no from Rick Hahn. Isn't it? I mean, isn't that what he's saying? Like, he's saying, oh, let's be respectful. I'm not going to tell everybody right now that he's never going to play the outfield again for the White Sox. That's the translation in case anybody needed it.
Right. You know, I now take back every criticism I had of Alfonso Soriano and Wrigley Field.
he looks good now, huh? Looks gold glove.
Because that's the smart play.
Yep.
He said whatever you thought of the contract, whether you earned it or not, whatever. They won the division. They went to the playoffs the first 2 years that he was out there. He was scared of Wrigley, of the walls, the whatever it was. He wasn't going anywhere that was going to jeopardize his at-bats. And that's the right approach. So if you dare put him out there again, then you make Alfonso Soriano his outfielder coach, because he will teach him all about that.
You know what? That's a great point. And could you, now that you're saying that, could you have imagined Eloy Jimenez playing left field at Wrigley Field and hitting that wall?
I think he would have learned sooner. I think that's the advantage that Soriano's, ooh, that's brick. And but maybe not. I don't know what Soriano knows, what he can learn, but he has shown an inability to have a quick learning curve about, you know, obviously he doesn't have baseball instincts in the outfield. That's clearly what he's missing. Everything else, you know, the hitting part of it all seemed good. His baseball fielding instincts weren't there. And again, it comes back to what should the team know or allow? What should it have to deal with? I'm trying to think of the youngest player never to be able to have a glove again. Because they always want to do that.
That's a great question.
I might have said that about, you know, like the comparison was made with Kyle Schwarber, right? Oh, he got hurt early. He came back. He won the World Series for him. He started the game-winning rally, and it was a wonderful it's a great story and a testament to perseverance and a man's intestinal fortitude. But Schwarber was – I don't know if he was as bad of a catcher as he was – as Jimenez is a left fielder. I don't know if it would seem that they were both bad left fielders and not a lot of instincts for playing the position. Schwarber played left field like he was a linebacker, but he could throw like crazy.
Yeah, so, I was just going to say, Rosie, like he had at least a redeeming quality, which is he has a cannon for an arm.
Yes. And there's no question, you know, playing catcher all those years, it was worthwhile, and that was true. I don't know, and people, you could point to that because Kyle Schwarber got better. He was a better fielder. He's still throwing people out. He became more reliable out there. He became more reliable after the Cubs won a World Series, and the difference here is the Sox needed Jimenez in that lineup to win the World Series this year. And now he's not there. So between the players' inability to have any fielding instincts and the team's refusal to prevent him from going out there, it's comparative negligence, and the player probably draws more, but I haven't seen much criticism of the team for allowing him to go out there.
I think
this should be.
I think real quick, because I know we're going to move on from Eloy after this. I just want to say, if they ever put him back out in the field, it needs to be with two stipulations, two rules if you're going to be out in the field. Number one, you don't cross the warning track. Your foot touches the warning track and you stop. Number two, no diving, ever, period. If you break either of those rules, you come out of the game immediately, period.
Can they have one of those, like, fenceless leeches that they use for puppies to keep them inside the yard? And it shocks him when he gets to the warning track that he just
like
has.
You're talking about an electronic fence?
Yeah, electronic fence. That's what I'm trying to think of. It's not a leash. It's a fence. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's saying that, like, hey, limit his with the distance that he travels out there. That's really hard, especially for a guy who doesn't have great spatial awareness to begin with, and his instincts are already off. Like to have him thinking even more, like, am I allowed to run to the warning track? Am I allowed to go after do I have to just let this fall in front of me? I think that would actually make him worse if you limited what he is supposed to do out. That's hard for anybody who's ever played any baseball.
And if he's thinking out there, he might find another way to hurt himself. That's what a lot of athletes will tell you.
Hate to say it, Studs, that ain't a good idea. Like, and I've heard that idea. I know Parco threw that idea out there too. That would not work.
That speaks more to the point of why he shouldn't be playing the field anymore. Because if he doesn't understand that he is doing these things and getting himself hurt, so he shouldn't be doing that, then he shouldn't be in the outfield.
Exactly.
Now that I agree with. And another part to this, too, is you know how much it'll piss off pitchers? And I know all the Sox pitchers will say the right thing, but if Lance Lynn is out there or whomever, Giolito, Steve's guy, Dylan Cease, and they see Eloy Jimenez just allowing a ball to bounce on the warning track because he's not allowed to go there, they're going to throw their arms up. I mean, at some point in time, that is not going to be good for team morale. So, yeah, the only answer to me is get him out of there and maybe make him the youngest designated hitter of all time. That's a good question you had, Steve. I don't know who the youngest the fastest to abandon outfield and become. I mean, the only guy I think of is Nelson Cruz, but he's like 41 years old now. So I don't know how long I don't remember the last time Cruz played the outfield or whatever position he played.
The guy I most associate with losing his glove quickest would be Edgar Martinez.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I think what we should do is take a break and come back with the rest of what Mark heard.
And got Bears and Bulls. Bears and Bulls on what Mark heard.
Seems like a good time to break that down to carry on where we are. And
the Bears.
Bears. And we thank you for joining us for for no apparent reason. And we thank you for not calling us at 312-644-6767. This is Saturday Suckage, of course. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
All the Bears.
Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde. We are part two of What Mark Heard. To finish up on a question we asked before the break regarding taking Eloy Jimenez's glove away and who might be the youngest guy who went on to have a good hitting career. Just take the glove away because you suck and you're a menace and you're a danger out there. So two names, I brought up Edgar Martinez. He really stopped playing in the field at age 31. You go back over the baseball reference page, and at age 31, he played 23 games at, I'm sorry, he played 64 games at third base. And at age 32, he played four. So that's where it cut off for him, 31, 32. David Ortiz is suggested on the text line. And David Ortiz at 28, really, no more than 10 games a year the rest of his career. That's when they took his glove away at first base. So there we go. I just wanted to finish that up. Thank you, text line, for helping us suggest some names. But both were considerably older, right, than Eloy is now. But Eloy's a menace out there.
Right, and David Ortiz seemed – hi, Steve. David Ortiz seemed extremely happy as a designated hitter. So that maybe that could be the go-to. If somebody needs to sit down with Eloy and explain, say, hey, look what David Ortiz, look what became of him. So that's a great comp. All right, let's get on with what Mark heard. And we haven't talked about the Bears today. I was part of a group of reporters who spoke to one of the Bears' new cornerbacks. They've had a couple of new cornerbacks signed recently. Important to have the N as in Nancy in there when having this discussion. But that man is Desmond Trufant, and I had the following question for him.
You come in here, and you're obviously going to get a chance to start at corner and, you know, potentially replace Kyle Fuller. Does that get in your head at all when you think about Fuller and the success that he's had and how long he's been around, that you have to come in and try to fit in here after the success he had?
Not at all. I've been doing this a long time, you know, so that's just part of the game. There's great players everywhere, you know, and got a lot of respect for him. You know, he's done it at a high level for a long time. But, you know, this is the game. I want to, no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing, I'm trying to dominate. I'm trying to be the best I can be on the field. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to bonding with my new teammates and, you know, learning this playbook. And just getting after it, you know, and just show the team, show the city what I'm about.
Well, when healthy, he is a decent cornerback. He is not obviously Kyle Fuller level, but he will be put into a group of guys that ultimately will be competing for the spot opposite of Jalen Johnson. They brought back Artie Burns yesterday as well. I imagine they will continue to bring guys in and probably even at somewhere in the draft, probably draft a cornerback as well.
Desmond Trufant sounds exactly like a cornerback, exactly like I expect a cornerback to sound. No matter how good, how bad, wherever they are on the spectrum of cornerbacks, he's bring it. I'm here. I'm a cornerback. I'm out on an island.
Yep.
That's it. So good.
Yeah, there is
That's
a certain it. Confidence that
attitude,
those guys
right?
have. Yeah, yeah, no, he does. You're right. And I like the way he answered my question because he was like, you know, his answer was, hell yeah, I could step in and do that. You know, don't give me this Kyle Fuller style. I respect the guy, but come on. So, yeah, good answer to the question, and we shall see at that position. All right, we have to move along. Do we have time? We have time to do one more. Yes, yes. Okay.
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, let's get back to the Bulls and Arturas Karnišovas. And this specifically, obviously, we are talking about the trade for Nikola Vucevic, and he wants the Bulls to be able to be a destination spot, and a move like this might make that occur in the future. Here's Arturas Karnišovas. Take a listen.
Yes, obviously, we want Chicago to be an attractive destination for free agents, but you know, for us, is you know, we evaluated. Had a sample size of more than 40 games, and you know, we made a couple of decisions and to select certain guys, to add a couple guys to this team that can help win games, because we're serious here about winning. We're serious about the culture of be very competitive, and any opportunity we get to make this team better, we will.
Steve, Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic on a team together is something that will make players around the NBA notice and will make this a more desirable franchise.
And the actions back up the words. It can't be said enough, because you had last time that, you know, I almost expect to hear Gar Forman telling us that with these Bulls right now, Pau Gasol remains an important part of the core going forward. You're getting truth from the current regime, and you're getting actions that back it up, and players would want to be part of something that you're not going through a rebuild. You're part of something where they start with two all-stars. Yeah, I can fit in there. I can imagine myself there, and I think that's what the moves this week showed.
Amen, man. I think so, and I think the only other cut that we had, and we don't have time to play it, was the possibility now of making a playoff push, which I didn't think they cared about. Now they do care about it, and now, quite frankly, I care about it. So this changed everything from my perspective of watching the Bulls, going from development and thinking about next year's draft to what the hell? Let's see what they can do in making the playoffs and what they could do in the postseason.
Right. In a way, they're like fans. Winning matters. We want to win here. That's what we're doing here. Oh, my God. This is wonderful. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, can this marriage be saved? Indeed, it apparently has. We'll talk NCAA hoops next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.